And now, the wrestling podcast that calls it right down the middle.
The Whole Reffin' Show.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Whole Reffin' Show Wrestling Podcast, the podcast that calls it right down the middle. My name is Perry Smith, and joining me is...
Darren Beasley.
Got a great show for you. We always have a great show for you. I think we are 8 for 8. Is this the 8th episode already?
This is the 8th episode.
Okay, good. I really forgot just now. We've been doing this for so long, it just runs together.
So many weeks. So
God.
7 weeks.
Just right at the 2-month point, folks. Thank you for joining us. And for those of you who have been along for this ride since the very beginning, thank you for staying on board. And those of you hopping on at the last station or this station, welcome. Stick around.
This is not the last train to Clarksville.
No.
This is the perpetual train to good wrestling podcasts.
You said that, I immediately thought of a wrestler whose gimmick is like he's like like one of the monkeys, and his finisher is called the Last Train to Clarksville. They would be sued instantly.
That is his gimmick. That's a terrible gimmick. I am one of the gimmick is not that they're the monkeys are back.
Right.
No. The gimmick is that this one guy is one of the monkeys. This wrestler who's probably he's a developmental talent.
Yeah.
He doesn't even know who the monkeys are. We are.
The office gave him that. His real name is like Timmy Taylor, like tough Timmy Taylor, and then they repackaged him into the monkey, who's
into the monkey, who's not a
the
monkey.
No,
he is a monkey, as in he is one of the monkeys.
He's the monkey, and you think he might be dressed up like an animal, the monkey. No, we're talking about the band, the Monkees.
No, he's wearing like a pair of like black pistol-legged jeans with pointy toe boots and like a dark crimson velour button-down and like a black turtleneck.
Okay. My point here is that the Last Train to Clarksville sounds like a wrestling finishing move, but that could just be because I have to watch wrestling every day and I can only think in wrestling terms now. So all that I was saying about our show being good, forget it, because clearly we're sidetracked already. By this whole the monkeys thing.
Hey, we're the monkeys.
Hey, people say we monkey around. So yeah, wrestling. Let's get back to wrestling. Actually,
wrestling.
That was technically still about wrestling. Just let's get back to real wrestling, real things that have happened.
Wrestling is real.
But speaking of fake acts from overseas, but not really from overseas, WWE.
Wow,
that kind of works. See, the monkeys existed because they came about because people thought the Beatles were great. So America said, we got our own Beatles right here, the monkeys. But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but they're not from overseas.
But people, they wanted people to think that maybe they were part of the British invasion, you know? It's kind of all blended together.
Well, I guess maybe because Davy Jones had a British accent.
There you go.
Because he was British.
Right.
But the rest of them were definitely American.
Right.
Michael Neesmith and Mickey Dolenz and Peter Tork.
Peter Tork from
the Monkees?
Liverpool. Yes. Okay, fine. So that was a terrible segue. WWE, however...
It's the last train to Clarksville.
Speaking of England, WWE recently did some shows...
Are we speaking of England?
We are speaking of England now. WWE recently did some shows overseas in
Clarksville,
in Leeds, England, and Glasgow, Scotland, where they did Raw and SmackDown, and some good shows, very good shows. We'll get into a bit more about those a bit later on, because I want to talk about what happened on a tour bus while they were overseas. A little altercation broke out between Sin Cara and Chris Jericho.
Bus bout! bus bout.
Yes, it was a bus bout. I didn't think you'd actually write that, but you did. Between the two, apparently the story goes that Sin Cara was on the tour bus making some, quote, annoying noises, and several wrestlers...
That's what adults do.
That's what adults do. That's what luchadors do. And several wrestlers asked him to stop, and he did not. Eventually, Chris Jericho got very angry, basically got in Sin Cara's face and told him to stop. Sin Cara leaps into action. They kind of go at it for a little bit. Now, there is some speculation, but this is pure speculation, that Sin Cara actually knocked Chris Jericho out. I don't know if there's any validity to that, because...
Jericho himself tweeted
right
that it was bullshit.
Right.
That he had not been knocked out. I don't even... The tweet was so...
I didn't get his reference either.
Yeah.
Or I didn't feel like researching it, because I was too busy not researching
Regardless,
it.
Jericho denies being knocked out.
Right. And I believe him, and then that's fine.
So. Yeah, I mean, the only reason that you would doubt him is because Sin Cara has apparently become, you know, Mr. Backstage Tough Guy, which is the lamest person it could possibly be.
Little Sin Cara.
I mean, yeah, because, like, first of all, I hate Sin Cara.
Oh, great. Now he's going to want to be on our show, Darren.
Well, that's fine. I don't hate Hunico, or whatever his real name is, the guy behind the current version of Sin Cara.
Third Sin Cara, isn't it?
He's the second or third.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure there have been three, but it's almost like maybe he was the second, and then they went to a third, and then went back to him? I don't know.
That's really odd. And maybe they should think about moving on to a fourth or maybe, third.
Yeah. But I just... The idea that the toughest guy backstage isn't even able to, like, be his own person and be, like, this cool badass. Like, we always used to hear stories about Ron Simmons or Ming or, you know, people like that. And it's like, oh, cool. Well, they're, like, a real person. And
they look like Ron Simmons and Ming, like, legitimate tough, too. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
You read some autobiographies and they mention how tough Ming / Haku is. And now Ron Simmons is, like, maybe one of the strongest guys who ever wrestled. So.
And that's what I'm saying. But now, 2016, you get Sin Cara. And because nobody knows really who he is or cares, it's just... It's a big letdown. Like, I don't even want to talk about it. Like, it's just...
What's funny to me is I think about this incident, and I can't not picture Sin Cara without his mask on. So I assume he's wearing, like, normal street clothes and a Sin Cara mask. Well, I doubt he is.
Right, and the weird Sin Cara mask, which covers his entire face and prohibits him from talking. So therefore, he's a non-entity. But yet, they don't even explore that. Like, that'd be cool. All right? His name is Sin Cara. That means without a face. Okay? And he has a mask that covers his whole face. Why don't they play that up at all? He's apparently, his character is, he's a luchador that's a deaf mute that has no face. Okay, that could actually be really interesting if you explored it at all. Instead, nope, he's just a guy with dazzly trunks and he doesn't have a face, and we're not going to let him talk, and not going to let anybody talk for him, and no one cares. Like, he's just there.
Wow.
And
you did more harm than Chris Jericho ever could, Darren.
Man, and I hate it, because I hate it for the dude.
Right.
Like, the dude behind Sin Cara. I mean, come on. It has failed. Stop it. You have a huge batch of quality cruiserweights now. Just take the mask off. I'm not saying fire the guy.
I'm not a fan of Sin Cara getting involved with cruiserweight matches either. It's kind of odd. It's kind of like, you're not... You weren't part of the CWC. Get out of here, Sin Cara.
Right, you mentioned that. So take the...
I just mentioned it.
I know, and you mentioned it earlier as well.
No, we only talk on this show. I don't you see you.
Take the mask off
If the record button's not going, I don't talk to you, Darren. Come on.
Take the mask off of him, and then totally give him a new character. And
Poppy Chulo.
Yeah. And put him on 205 Live, or whichever one of the brands ends up having a cruiserweight division, if either of them do, after this convoluted ass Kendrick versus the returning Kalisto, who of course, oh, he's little and doesn't have a face. Let's put him in cruiserweight division as well.
So yeah, that really weird announcement that Brian Kendrick will defend the Cruiserweight Championship against Kalisto. Brian Kendrick of Raw, Kalisto of SmackDown. If Kalisto wins, all the Cruiserweights basically go to SmackDown.
Not just Kalisto takes the belt over there, but the division switches brands.
Which, I guess that has to happen because they're going to tape 205 Live after SmackDown, so...
Oh, it's going to happen, isn't it?
Doesn't that just make sense? But that's how they do it. Kalisto, who had nothing to do with the Cruiserweight Classic and all these awesome new invasion of Cruiserweights.
They love Kalisto, man.
Is he's going to beat Brian Kendrick, the new Cruiserweight champion, who's held it for a week or two?
All I'm saying...
This is making me angry the more I talk about it.
Right. Well, I'm just holding out hope that they go back in time 2 or 3 years ago when the plan in NXT was to take the mask off of Kalisto. When the Lucha Dragons were doing their thing. And originally they were going to take the mask off Kalisto and give him a new gimmick where he was going to be a gay hairdresser. And I remember when that
was... Is that accurate?
Yes, that's 100% accurate.
Wow.
And please do it. Please give me # gay hairdresser Kalisto. Alright, listeners, dear listeners... Please get # gay hairdresser Kalisto trending. I'm just saying.
No, hey. They'll listen to the three people that won't do that. But as we mentioned, Raw and SmackDown, they are getting their teams together for the Survivor Series pay-per-view, which is coming up in about a week or so from this recording. And there were a couple of cool things that happened on Raw this week. The very large tag team match was pretty cool. Having all the tag teams in the ring at the same time was just kind of cool to look at. All the tag teams that are together and they're all kind of interacting together.
It was very old school in that kind of 1991, 1992 WWF kind of way where everybody has just like rainbow colored tights on 25 different dudes and we get them all out there and they all kind of mumble broccoli under their breaths and just like this whole hullabaloo.
Of course, after the medley of catchphrases, they have to shoot off to the Scotland crowd. It was pretty cool just to see them all together. And it does kind of harken back to the old days of Survivor Series, which I love Survivor Series. As long as it's Survivor Series matches, I'm all for it. I don't care who's in the match.
Same here.
Main event for Raw was a fatal 5-way match where Stephanie McMahon made her... Team Raw go at it, which I don't really understand why you would want to weaken your flagship team
again,
or why you would want to make them maybe dislike each other even more.
I've said it a million times. You've got to at least present it like it's real.
I know, right? I will say though, the end of the Fatal 5-Way match was pretty well booked, where Chris Jericho is laid out and Kevin Owens gets kicked. And lands directly on top of Jericho, pinning Jericho and winning the match. That was actually pretty cool. They are showing more signs of an eventual Jericho-Owens breakup where they'll be feuding for the title, which is cool. And, again, I'm not a huge fan of Roman Reigns. I don't know a lot of people that are. It was kind of cool seeing Reigns involved in the main event match. And the cool thing about the Survivor Series is that you're seeing people fight who don't normally fight because we've seen the same programs over and over and over again ever since the brand split. So it's a pretty cool thing what's going on. And again, it's just neat to see different things. And there were a lot of different things about this Raw, which I know I appreciated. I'm sure the people over in Scotland appreciated as well.
Yeah, I think that one of my favorite parts of the Raw SmackDown head-to-head Survivor Series thing, which they've done before in the past, the last time there was a brand split, and they're doing again, that's even more unique than the old-school Survivor Series, where it was just one brand. You end up having babyfaces and heels on the same team. So, not only are you getting to see this match that has tons of different people in it, and matchups occur in the ring that you would never normally otherwise see. You also, by virtue of the brand split, get that weird situation where both teams have baby faces and both teams have heels. And it's just, it's pretty neat. Because you watch them sort of have to get along for the sake of, you know, brand pride or, you know, brand unity or whatever. And I think that was actually never more apparent than during that big tag team meetup on Raw.
Right.
Because those, that, I mean, that's a ring full of people that do not get along. And,
we've all just feuded and are currently feuding.
And then you've got, like, Enzo and Cass, you know, they don't really get along with New Day, but they definitely don't get along with Gallows and Anderson. So you've got them, at least in the moment, sort of ganging up on Gallows and Anderson just to poke fun at them. And that's pretty cool. But then they're going to turn around and have this match at Survivor Series where they're all going to be forced to be together. That, I mean, I'm super, super excited about Goldberg-Lesnar.
Mark.
You know, well, hey, whatever,
man. I'm kidding.
But
Mark.
That match is one where you are either super excited about it or you don't give a shit at all. No one's just like, yeah, that'll be pretty good, you know.
Everyone at the very least is interested.
And I am very interested.
Everyone's going to tune in to watch the match. They may not be expecting the greatest match of all time, but they're going to see what happens. They still want to know who wins.
I definitely am not expecting the greatest match of all time. I don't even know if it will be any good.
With Lesnar, who wrestles once every few months, with Goldberg, who hasn't wrestled in 12 years... it's not going to be a great match. Even if they were in their prime, let's face it, it still wouldn't have been a great match. It's just two big old horses, as Jim Ross would say, going at it. It's just two big names going at it. It's like Hogan and Ultimate Warrior. I'm not saying they're as iconic as those guys, but I guess they kind of are nowadays. I guess they are Hogan and Warrior these days. Well, not Hogan. But just kind of two big guys who don't really know a lot of technical stuff. They're just kind of throw haymakers at each other and push each other and tackle each other. And you know what I mean? It's going to be a very physical match.
Well, that being said, I find myself more and more excited about this traditional Survivor Series match that features the tag teams. The fact that there's going to be... that's 20 dudes, right? 5 tag teams on each side.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Can that ring take it? I guess it could take Battle Royals and it could take, yeah.
I think that's going to look, it's going to look super cool at the start. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. The tag team division in the last couple of years and right now is very, very cool to me. They got a lot of quality teams, a lot of vibrant teams, a lot of fun. And there's a lot of variety amongst these teams when you think about that. You've got Gallows and Andersons, you've got New Day, Enzo and Cass, American Alpha, Heath Slater and Rhino. I mean, like, that's just a few of these 10 tag teams. And it's very cool. That's going to be really fun to watch.
Again, people who don't normally wrestle will be wrestling, and that's what's very interesting about all of that. So yeah, speaking of SmackDown people, you know, speaking of SmackDown, a show where the tag titles actually mean something instead of Raw where they don't move, and NXT, also, they don't move. Revival's had them forever.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with Revival having them because they defend them in a way that is legitimate. I have yet to believe, despite being a fan of the New Day, none of their wins are believable. You didn't beat them. You can't, you know, and then they lose. Every time there's a non-title match, they lose it. And even in, I'm just tired of that.
Well, that's classic booking. But speaking of SmackDown, same kind of thing, what's going on with Raw. They're getting their teams together for Survivor Series. They got their 5 people together, which their 5 people are Dean Ambrose, AJ Styles, Baron Corbin, Bray Wyatt, and Randy Orton. Baron Corbin, of course, not a team player, much like what you'd seen on Raw. The heels kind of going like, I don't like your stinking guts. Well, I'm going to do it just because I got to do it. Or I'm not going to do it at all, whatever. And Baron Corbin was kind of, I don't want to do that. And he had a match with Kalisto, who apparently is the biggest name in wrestling now. He's already been mentioned. He's mentioned twice this podcast, with beating his record of 0 times ever on this podcast.
Hashtag gay hairdresser Kalisto.
Yes, don't forget, folks. And Baron Corbin, of course, injured his leg during the match with Kalisto, which is, it's not a real injury. We don't know if it's because...
Okay, but what is it? Right. What's the deal?
We don't know if it's because Baron Corbin wants out of the match, or if because the office just said, just do this, and, you know, it'll be your reason for not being in the match. It's fine, but his replacement was announced by Daniel Bryan at the end of SmackDown. His replacement in the Survivor Series match, the fifth man, instead of being Baron Corbin, will be Shane McMahon. Now, Shane McMahon is in very good shape. Even with his sports coats on and all that stuff, you notice that he is a built guy. And he's definitely had matches over the years and yada, yada, yada. But he's still a guy. He's not a wrestler.
I don't like it.
Don't like it.
I don't want to see it.
Yeah, I don't want that. And the more and more...
And I like Shane McMahon.
Yeah, the more and more I read on the internet about Shane McMahon is that he's going to have a match with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. And that's just a match that no one cares to see.
I don't want to see that. Why would you waste Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 33 on Shane McMahon?
Yeah.
Just stop.
I mean, I'm not against Shane McMahon having a match at WrestleMania. Just, that's not a believable matchup.
No, it doesn't need to, right, it doesn't need to be against the biggest monster you've had in 20 years. If Shane's got to wrestle, then he needs to wrestle another non-wrestler.
Right.
He needs to wrestle, like, his father or his sister.
I don't think his father's going to move around a whole lot.
You know what I mean?
His sister, yeah, I could not see that also. Or like Mick Foley, have the two GMs go at it, or whatever, two commissioners or whatever. It's not a bad idea. Especially now that Mick Foley has slimmed down a little bit, I think that could happen. Anyway, it's not going to happen. So yeah, there you have it, folks. Just Raw and SmackDown again about, it's always about the pay-per-views now. The as it always has been in wrestling, the weekly shows are just setting up the monthly pay-per-view. And that exists to set up the next monthly pay-per-view. And so on and so on and so on. Moving on, we're going to leave the WWE for a bit and talk more about the TNA mess. And it's still messy. And it's just getting messier and messier and messier.
It almost begs for a muckraker to come in and rake all the muck.
I don't say muckraker enough in my life. Thank you for reminding me.
I do.
You do, apparently.
I do.
Hashtag muckraker.
I say muckraker... at least thrice daily.
I don't say thrice enough either.
Well, I do.
Hashtag thrice. Once a muckraker, thrice a muckraker.
That's, yeah, that's my family's motto.
Yeah, muckraker. I didn't see that James Bond movie.
Oh, come on. All right, you're a regular Upton Sinclair. All right, so... TNA, with all of its muck that's in need of raking.
The show is falling apart.
So Billy Corgan got raked out with the rest of the muck. They took him out. They took him out. Not to dinner. They took him out of the picture. Dude is not president. Dude is not owner. Billy Corgan... they just said, hit the curb, honey. And all of his lawsuits are for naught. And somehow Dixie Carter comes out smelling like roses again. I don't know how this woman does it.
Money?
Oh, not at all. A complete lack of money. That's the one thing she doesn't have. She has the company sort of like... it's like TNA has... Stockholm syndrome with Dixie Carter, and they're like, no, can't do it unless Dixie's around, and it makes no sense. She has no money. She has no right to ownership at this point. Her family and their company and all that, like Billy Corgan, yes, Billy Corgan, has kept them afloat financially, and he's getting completely screwed. He goes to court, and they're just like, thanks, but no thanks. We'll keep the company. You can't have it. And in exchange, you might get some money back. Oh, no, maybe not. And, like, he's being really cool about it in a way. He's like, yeah, I'm going to tweet that they're going to give me the money tomorrow. Oh, no, I'm going to tweet that they're going to give me the money tomorrow. That's in 2 days. But it's messed up, man. Billy's out. Dixie's in there, man. She's in there, and I don't know why. She doesn't have any money. She doesn't have a rightful claim. And yet, there she is. I would like to meet her lawyers. Her team of lawyers know what they're doing. But what that leaves us with is a bunch of TNA that's been taped. I guess they're going to stay named TNA, and things are just going to continue stumbling forward blindly in the dark until it actually does sort of just go belly up.
Right.
And I think that that's what's going to happen. I think that with John Big Gaborik and his shady backdoor dealings with the WWE, trying to get a job back with the WWE and in turn facilitate the buyout of the tape library of TNA, that was going to be really good for them. And Billy trying to pump all of his own money, not loaned from somewhere else, no third party, you know, no nothing. He wanted to put his own money in, and all he wanted was basically the power he was buying. All of those sweet deals, man, those aren't coming again. And TNA is probably just going to just disappear into the dust in pretty short order. And that's sad. That sucks. That's a way less cool ending to that story.
Yeah.
But it's not over yet. It's not over yet. I'm sure there's still all sorts of craziness that's going to come on their programming and in the backstage stories that we hear.
Moving on, though, to NXT and our continuing coverage of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic.
The second annual.
Second annual, yes, indeed. The second annual. Where we saw DIY take on the Authors of Pain. Toka that's and Razor. Right. Oh, not their names.
Akam and Razor of the Authors of Pain with their manager, Precious Paul Ellering.
Yes, indeed. And it was a good match. It was a different pace for the Authors of Pain, who are used to coming in and just pulverizing their opponents. But
this completely changed my opinion on the Authors of Pain.
It did mine as well. DIY, of course, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. They're so good. They're just such good wrestlers. I think they could have good match with anybody. Not saying Authors of Pain are incapable of having a good match, but again, like we said, this pace is just very different. These guys are very high-flying and very innovative offense, and it worked really, really well, where you have two smaller guys take on two big guys. And
despite being such big guys, the fact that their opponents gave them so much to work with showed us that the Authors of Pain are young and they are in shape. Like, these dudes are some young go-hards.
Some strong dudes. I forget which one of them, but probably the best spot of the match was when Ciampa is on one of the Authors of Pain's back.
We'll oh, see. For sure.
Yeah, and Gargano yeah. comes off the top rope and he catches him in front. So Gargano is being held by his arms in the front. Ciampa is holding on to his shoulders from behind, and basically he just kind of comes back and basically does a fallaway slam to Gargano and a Samoan drop to Ciampa, both at the same time, which was just crazy to look at. I'd never seen that done before, so
yeah,
hats off for all of them for pulling that one off.
Yeah, that was a dandy Samoan drop.
It was a dandy Samoan drop.
And an SOS slam.
Yes.
Simultaneous sack of shit slam. Courtesy of Scott Hall.
Yes, indeed.
But this time, executed by one of the Authors of Pain.
Yes.
Yeah, this match was really cool, and it was nice to see in a different setting. This was on NXT television, but it was taped at the Palladium in Los Angeles, California. And the old theater feel with the strange ceilings and, you know, clearly the room is not built to have a wrestling ring in the middle. So it makes for a really nice asymmetrical
backdrop, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a lot of fun.
Like an old school Raw. Like an old, like, mid, definitely, early 90s Raw.
Yeah, it had that feeling because of the, I guess, period of architecture. The very reminiscent of the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Yeah.
The Manhattan Center. That which Raw originally aired from. Mm-hmm. As well as so many classic ECW shows.
For that great match, which ended very well, the Revival coming out from under the ring and costing DIY the match, setting up the tag team championship match at TakeOver between DIY and the Revival, a best of three falls match.
That's super cool.
Which I like a lot, because that means it's going to be a nice long match with plenty of wrestling.
It'll probably be a humdinger.
It'll be a humdinger. So I'm looking forward to that. Needless to say, the Authors of Pain, they move on to take over as well for the Dusty Rhodes Championship.
That's right. These two matches were the semifinals matches.
That's right. The next match was between TM61 and Sanity.
That's right. Who out there, dear listeners, does not know what TM61 means? Anyone?
Say I don't. I don't know what
a
that means.
A lot of people don't know what that means.
Okay.
For those of you who don't know and do care, T and the M are the first letter of each of the last names of the men that comprise the team. Shane Thorne, where that's where the T comes from, and Nick Miller, and that's where the M comes from.
Wait, slow down.
61 apparently is the international area code that you dial before calling the land down under. Australia, the home of TM61, formerly known as the Mighty Don't Kneel. In case anybody is listening and wonders why I constantly say, the Mighty Don't Kneel, at the end of every time we talk about TM61. It's because they did go by that much cooler name when they wrestled Down Under, and at least they use it as a catchphrase.
Right.
I hated to see that it went entirely the way of the dodo. So, for me, at least they're using it as a catchphrase, because that's pretty wicked. I mean, I dig it. The Mighty Don't Kneel. I mean, because first of all, the Mighty Don't Kneel. And, you know, TM61, Shane Thorne, Nick Miller, the Mighty, they don't kneel. No, they don't kneel, but they do take on Sanity.
They do take on Sanity. They take on the team of Alexander Wolf and Sawyer Fulton. And
Sawyer Fulton still looks like a giant.
Yeah.
Even though Thorne and Miller are pretty tall, svelte, kind of cut-up dudes, God, Sawyer Fulton looks crazy big.
He is a big guy compared to everyone else. He really is, yeah.
And that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, he packs on the, like, extra tall, like, clothing, like, bunches up around his neck and head. Like, I don't know if they're shoulder pads built in or it's just an enormous fur collar. And then he has, like, the dread, like, mohawk dreadlocks and all that stuff piled up on top of an already enormous body. It works for him. And I think it will continue to work for him in that sort of Baron Corbin way.
Right. And the match started pretty quickly when Sanity attacked, all four members of Sanity attacked TM61.
Oh, I love the love gang warfare.
It was a great start. The match was very, very good. Nothing wrong with that at all. But ultimately, and surprisingly actually, TM61 won over Sanity. I'm pretty sure that's Sanity's first defeat on television that I can think of.
Yeah, I think so, and I'm okay with that. I am okay with it because I'm okay with them not going into the match with the Authors of Pain at TakeOver. I think that just is a little too much ass in the ring at one time. And I think that it kind of clouds what that match should really be. And I think that in a match that's celebrating the tag team, you don't really need that whole stable there. Sanity, there's so much gimmick already happening there. They don't need the added rub of the classic. Also, because they are a larger stable, you don't need to necessarily play up that they have a built-in tag team. At least not yet. Whereas TM61, again, you've got indie guys, international guys that are a very big deal and have done a lot, but they haven't done a lot successfully in NXT. So I think putting them in the finals is going to be a nice feather in their cap moving forward. I'm a fan of theirs, and I think that this will be very good for them. And I think it'll be interesting to see them take on the Authors of Pain. I think that that can probably be potentially as good as the DIY Authors of Pain match. And especially the fact that they're going to be doing it on a grand scale, a live pay-per-view for NXT, you know, TakeOver. So that's cool. And so I'm on board. I'm on board for the whole thing. I like DIY going against the Revival for the tag belts. Sanity doing their crazy thing. So everybody's still got something. Nobody's losing out in this tag team classic.
Right. But it's nice that it's actually, you know, two tag teams competing for the tag team classic. Because, I mean, last time in the first annual Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, it was Finn Balor and Samoa Joe, who are very much singles competitors. Both
sure,
both former NXT champions. So it is nice that it's actually tag teams doing it.
It is cool. Like I'm okay with the fact that it ended that way last year. But I'm with you. I think it's even better that it's two established teams that operate as teams, first and foremost.
And speaking of NXT, that takes us into our next segment. A segment we've done once before on this show, folks. A segment we like to call We Were There.
Well, you were there.
Okay, so I was there. Indeed, I was at the latest Gainesville, Florida house show for NXT, which was a...
Right, I was at a wedding.
You were at a wedding.
How dare anybody do anything that's not attend live wrestling?
I've always said that love is a wrestling killer.
It is.
And I've been right my entire life about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. However, it was a great night. It was really cool, really good show, really great wrestlers were in attendance. I mean, there's always great wrestlers at NXT. And some people that I haven't seen in action before were in action, including Uriel Ely and his brother Gabriel Ely. You might know who they are, folks. They're the two twins who were viciously attacked on NXT television by Samoa Joe.
Oh, that's right.
Those two guys were there.
And that was, oh man, yeah, when Joe attacked them, that was unfortunate because each of them are like twice the size of Samoa Joe.
Yeah, Samoa Joe destroyed them on television, but they were in high spirits. Uriel Ely and Gabriel Ely, for those who don't know, are twins, and they look very much identical. The only difference is they have two tattoos. I noticed this. One is on the waist and one's on the arm. They both have it in the same exact places, but they're different things in those places. That's the only way you can tell them apart.
That's weird.
So Uriel was the one wrestling. Gabriel was on the outside. And Uriel took on Adrian Jaud. Decent match. Uriel and Gabriel have a gimmick where they say, yeah. Like, constantly. Yeah! Yeah! Constantly. And it went from, like, what the hell? To, that's pretty cool. To, what? No, stop doing it. To, I guess it's still pretty cool. They're
like a Family Guy joke.
Exactly, yeah. They're very high energy, and I appreciate that. But, I mean, watching the match, I was thinking, like, if these twins don't pull some twin bushwhacker type shit where one runs in and takes the place of his tag team partner, then I'm leaving. Luckily, I didn't have to leave because that's exactly how the match ended, where Gabriel jumped in for his brother who was taken out on the outside. Kind of an accidental thing, but nevertheless, he took the place of his brother and took Adrian down pretty quickly with a finisher and ended the match. So Uriel, and by that I mean Gabriel, won the match. So that's how that one ended. So it was. I mean, it wasn't a clinic. These two people fighting, but it was just a solid match, and I love the gimmicky finish. And that's the one good thing about twins wrestling is you want stuff like that to happen. So, and I got that. So the next match was some lady action with Mandy Rose and Aaliyah. It was a decent match. I don't think NXT knows what to do with Aaliyah. She's just kind of a baby face who comes out, and the fans like her. She's very likable, and she's nice, and she's, you know, a decent enough wrestler. But they don't really give her anything to do. Mandy Rose, on the other hand, her conceited golden goddess gimmick is going over very well. Well, one, she's let's face it, she's very pretty. So, I mean, you can be conceited if you are very good looking, and she definitely has the blonde bombshell thing going for her. But she's also becoming a better wrestler. I feel like Aaliyah's been kind of stagnant since we saw her from earlier house shows. Mandy Rose, though, since those house shows, she's just gotten better and better and better. And like I said, her gimmick is starting to take off, and it's nice to see Mandy Rose.
And I would like to actually talk to some NXT superstars about the phenomenon that I'm about to mention. And it's that Mandy Rose definitely has a character that she's portraying on television. And her look works. As you've mentioned about her music, it really works. Her gear, her makeup, her attitude, all her facial expressions. She's doing the job she was hired to do. Like, you know, this girl is for real, and she really is a burgeoning talent that seems to constantly improve. Unless you follow her on Snapchat, and then the illusion is shattered. Because not that these people need to necessarily live their gimmicks, but if they're not going to live their gimmick, it's weird to see them actually have more, for lack of a better word, airtime on their own Snapchat, in which they're just being a regular person.
They're real.
I mean, it's like literally just watching her at the grocery store, goofing around, lifting weights, hanging out at the pool. That's fine. That's cool. If you're like a Mandy Rose super fan, and I'm sure there's a lot of them because she, like you've said, she's a talent. That's cool to watch, I guess, but if you're just sort of randomly watching it because, oh, look what I found, it really does a lot to undo a character, especially when you're trying to build a character
right
from nothing. To the exact same point, just not in the social media realm, but in the WWE shooting themselves in the foot realm. It was WWE Network's exclusive show Breaking Ground, in which we saw a lot of Aaliyah, and we saw her get shit on by all the coaches, and because she couldn't do the right dance when she came to the ring. She just didn't move very well. And, you know, we sit there and we watch the NXT coaches rip her apart. And she never really gets a redeeming moment. So if you watched that show, you walk away with, you have no other way to feel except that WWE has told you to feel that this girl is not ready. Well, that's fine if you found out online, you know, 6 weeks after the show aired that she was fired. But nope, there she is, man, working the house show circuit on NXT television.
Gainfully employed.
Absolutely, and yet, really, the biggest push she's ever gotten is as a, look at her, she's terrible. So, I would like to know, what do these NXT kids who have so much exposure, how are they developing their characters in spite of that? Whether it's their own social media, whether it's WWE social media, or whether it's network TV shows and the general flushing of kayfabe.
Social media is kayfabe nightmare.
It really is.
And then you add to that.
There needs to be a bit of kayfabe, even now. Because, I mean, you are portraying a character. There has to be a little bit of, I don't want to see behind the curtain, but with Snapchat and Instagram.
Oh, man, the curtain is yanked wide open.
It's an opaque shower curtain that you're looking right through.
Yeah, and I'd like to talk to them. The ones who are doing it themselves, who are doing it deliberately, whether it be on their Snapchat or their Instagram story or whatever you want to do. Or whether it's the ones that seem to be, you know, having a spotlight, a very harsh, unforgiving spotlight put on them by WWE reality TV. Because that's weird.
Right.
Well, don't get me started on Total Divas.
Well, I won't. But Mandy Rose and Aaliyah do have a decent match. And again, Mandy Rose is just getting better and better and better. And the finisher. Oh, the finish was great. Mandy Rose hit Aaliyah with a dangling double underhook face buster. And dangling, I mean, like, she kept her up there for a good 6-7 seconds. And she's got some strength, for sure. So, good on you there, Mandy. Aaliyah, too. Good job there. Next was a tag team match between Tucker Knight and Otis Dozovic. They took on Angelo Dawkins and Kenneth Crawford. Angelo, who's being retooled.
And thank goodness.
And repackaged. I actually like the team of Angelo Dawkins and Kenneth Crawford a lot. They work really well together. They both basically just wear black sweatpants and sneakers. And they're just kind of, just, you know, too cool for school. And
it's funny that you were able to see them that night. Because it was either that same night or maybe even the night before. But I got on social media. I believe it was Instagram. And just thumbing my way through thousands of pictures, I ended up really introducing myself to the Crawford dude. And still don't know that much about him, but was very pleasantly surprised by some of the stuff that I saw, which is that he has a kind of interesting sort of famous for being famous 21st century chic, like, I don't know, almost like male model, not reality TV, but kind of, you know, that sort of vibe, I guess. I'm anxious to see how they like kind of refine it and hone it, like, you know, because otherwise I can see somebody in WWE is not going to describe it much more eloquently than I just didn't.
Right. It's hard to, I mean, seeing the match was great. It was a very good match. And knowing nothing about Kenneth Crawford, and he's the first time I've ever seen him at all. His wrestling was fine. He could sell. He sold bumps really, really well. Like, it looked painful the way he bounced off the mat. And then that takes a lot of skill, for those who don't know, who are listening. You think, well, anyone can just fall down. No, no, no. To make it look truly painful, that is an art form, for sure. But I loved, they're obviously like a kind of a heel, a likable heel tag team, where they'll put one move over on their opponent and then overly celebrate about it for a good while, and of course turn around and get clobbered by whoever they're fighting.
That's always
which
fun.
Did happen to Kenneth Crawford, who celebrated a move and then got turned around and just got nailed by Tucker Knight.
Now, to hear you tell it, though, Angelo Dawkins is actually sort of re-steering his character.
Yeah, doesn't have the headbands anymore. That whole thing's gone, which is kind of cool because that wasn't really a gimmick. It was just kind of wardrobe. And
yeah, and I know I mentioned it long ago on the podcast that nothing at all against Angelo Dawkins, but again, against a character that just didn't fit in NXT. When you've got NXT,
we have superb characters, and then you have Angelo Dawkins. Nothing wrong with him. He's a good, like, you know, he's charismatic enough. You like him, but he's nothing special.
Right. Well, the character was like I mentioned a long time ago, was this weird sort of like, I am a walking, talking Sports Center top 10. Like, he's just, I'm a real sports like type athlete. Like I'm a LeBron, like I'm baby LeBron, or you know, something weird that's like, I am a wrestler, but really I'm this other thing. You know, catch me on ESPN. And that just didn't really have a place in NXT, because NXT is not presented big time enough for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of thing that, okay, you're going to do that. Well, guess, you know, guess what? WWE has a spot on SportsCenter every week. You know, if Angelo Dawkins is working that character and is part of the Raw roster, and then all of a sudden there he is appearing on SportsCenter, yes, son, work the shit out of that character. Go for it. But in NXT, walking around with, you know, Sanity and Authors of Pain and, you know, much more gnarly characters in a small arena with William Regal.
Right.
You know, that it was like, what?
Yeah, when you have really over-the-top characters like Sanity and Authors of Pain and Shinsuke Nakamura, just very unique people, and you have a guy that's like, I'm just really cool. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know, you need more than that. Like
yeah,
that, like,
well, yeah, and the whole,
that's
I'm just
not
really
gonna
cool because I play basketball.
Yeah.
Okay, dude, well then go play basketball.
Yeah, that's not going to fly here. But I do like Tucker Knight and Otis Dozovic a lot, because they're kind of a throwback to the early 90s, late 80s kind of wrestlers, where they're just big, meaty guys. And that's just kind of cool and different nowadays, because, you know, more or less the guys nowadays all kind of have similar builds. They're all in fairly good, or in very good shape, I should say. Just kind of muscular builds. And these guys are just two thick, barrel-chested guys. Especially Otis Dozovic, who's just kind of a low center of gravity. Just a big, thick guy you don't want to mess with.
He is a hippopotamus.
He is. He looks like someone off of, like, World's Strongest Man competition, but a bit shorter. But he's just a... he's just a big guy. And Tucker Knight, tall guy, thick guy, same kind of a thing. And I didn't think, you know, these guys would really get over or really kind of show us anything besides the fact that they're just big guys. But no, they're doing very well. They can actually move pretty well for being two big guys. And the audience likes them. The audience is into them. And I think NXT likes them, too.
I wonder if they'll gimmick them up any.
I don't think you need to.
I don't know that you need to either. I just wonder if they will.
What?
Or if they'll at least get a name. If they're going to keep them together, I feel like they probably need a team name.
Well, Otis originally had more of like an All-American thing going for him. Remember the house show we saw a couple months ago where he kind of had like that tracksuit? That was
right.
Like kind of an American thing.
Yeah.
So I think, if anything, they've already sort of skewed him away from that. And now he's just a mean mad man with this other guy.
And what's weird is if you just glance at him, and I don't know if it's because, like, his hair and beard are this sort of light orange. You know, he doesn't have that, like, rich amber red hair, but he's like...
Rich swan?
Like, he's kind of, like, creamsicle colored. And he's got little eyes, and then that just crazy, like, Humpty Dumpty build. And I say that in the best way possible.
He's just a thick guy, everybody. He's a thick dude.
Yeah. And I don't know. That combination, and then the fact that his name is Otis Dozovic, to me, you got to make him foreign. Like, I definitely didn't like the All-American thing. But I don't know if I even like... I don't know. If you're going to... You got to take him in some other kind of direction to make him... like a World's Strongest Man, and make him, you know, some sort of Nordic type dude or whatever.
Give him the Berserker deal.
Well, there you go.
Give him the Berserker gimmick.
Or, because Otis is a great name.
Right.
And keep Otis.
I'm glad they didn't put suspenders on him, though, and make him, like, from Omaha or something like that, and just kind of go overboard with it. Well, we're lucky that didn't happen.
That's true. But if you're going to keep him American, I think you got to lose the Dozovic name. Not that there's anything wrong with that name. It's cool and different, but...
It confuses people.
Well, his look. There's something Eastern European or Slavic or Nordic or Scandinavian or something very non-American about his look and his name and everything about him. But then he comes out and he's just like, all right, man, here I am. I'm Otis.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, you got to go in one direction or the other.
When you hear the like the tag team of Tucker and Otis, you think you're going to see two hillbillies come out in like and a Godwin-esque kind
exactly.
of thing.
And you don't have to make them hillbillies. In fact, please don't make them hillbillies. But
well, they
if you need to...
They tend to skew people.
If you need... You know, make their outfits match just a little bit more.
Give some unity.
Something.
Some color coordination.
They need to unite.
Well, they I think they do have similar colored uniforms.
Do they?
Now? They do, except for Tucker Knight wears very little. I think he just wears the undies, where Dosovic wears like the whole singlet, so...
Okay.
But they're
well, if they end up being the same colors, that's fine. I wasn't at this show, but every time I've seen them before, which is only like twice, they have not had anything matching at all. They literally look like a couple guys that just got thrown together.
Well, I'm sure they'll give them a bit more personality as it goes on. But as it is, they're like I said, they're over, and they go over on Angelo Dawkins and Kenneth Crawford. Moving on, though, some cruiserweight action, more or less. Lindsay Dorado. Takes on Buddy Murphy, the non-cruiserweight,
that's weird.
Yeah, it was a little odd. I mean, whenever I see cruiserweights,
that's cool though.
I know it was a great match. Whenever I see cruiserweights fight non-cruiserweights, it's always like, wait a minute, you're not a cruiserweight. But Buddy Murphy could hang with Lindsay Dorado. It was a solid match. It's a good high-flying spots. And
Buddy Murphy's a talent, man.
He really is, and I hope they figure out a way to kind of use him a little bit better than they have. They don't. It's obvious they don't have much for him now, but they're like, no, we like you. Stick around, we'll use you eventually.
I hate that for him. Like, I don't understand, unless one or both of them were against it, why they insisted on breaking up Blake and Murphy. That was a cool tag team. You know, and they totally could have, they could totally operate without Alexa Bliss. She was nice icing on their cake, but they, you know, they need to keep those dudes together, because everything I've seen as far as social media and that sort of thing with Wesley Blake is doing some new pretty boy gimmick with a white leather jacket and feather boas and blowing kisses and all that sort of thing. Like, I don't really know exactly what it's supposed to be. Like, I don't think it's Shawn Michaels' sexy boy. I don't think it's like rocker androgynous like Patrick Clark. But it's something. It's something different. And it says to me, wow, okay, they're not putting Blake and Murphy back together.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate, because I don't know, man. They're both good wrestlers.
It seems like they're better together than apart from
each other.
So much
better together.
Yeah.
I almost feel like one or both of them have to be against it. Well, otherwise, how could the office be so against it?
Well, I haven't seen Buddy Murphy win a singles match in quite some time, and this night was no different. Lindsay Dorado goes over on Buddy Murphy. Again, solid match. The next match between Roderick Strong and Steve Cutler. Roderick Strong, fairly new to NXT, coming from Ring of Honor. It was nice to see him wrestle in person, because I had not had the pleasure of doing so.
Big fan of Roderick Strong.
Yeah, and he was great. And Steve Cutler, that's someone we've mentioned before on the show. We talked about him at a previous house show, and the first we were there, as a matter of fact. And he didn't really have a whole lot to him. He was just kind of a guy in a denim jacket and sideburns. But man, I gotta say, Steve Cutler has totally turned things around for himself. The sideburns, I won't say are gone. They've been added to. He now has a full red beard, and he's just super heel now, and he says that he's a true American, and he calls out someone in the audience and asks if they serve in the military, and the guy says no, so he calls him a coward.
That's really interesting.
And,
I mean...
Yeah, because he was a Marine.
He is a legit Marine Corps veteran. He definitely saw wartime.
Yeah.
I don't know where he was deployed, if it was Afghanistan or Iraq, but this dude went to war and is, you know, a legitimate veteran. And to bring that into your wrestling gimmick is certainly nothing new, but to use it in a heel capacity,
yeah,
that's interesting.
That is kind of interesting.
And in a heel capacity as an American vet, not like, oh, I'm a Russian soldier veteran.
Right.
No, I'm an American vet, just like, you know, just like your kid brother, or just like your Uncle Mike, you know, but I'm going to have a bad attitude about it. That's very different.
Yeah, and like I said, he's improved a lot since we last saw him a couple months ago.
Hey, man, that is what this house show circuit is all about.
Yeah, man, improving talent, getting the talent in shape for television, and eventually moving on to the WWE, the big leagues.
I know that most of the United States, and probably the rest of the world, is incredibly jealous that the state of Florida gets this constant loop of NXT house shows, not to mention all of their television tapings,
right,
with the rare exception of things being taped like Access Week in Dallas, or this California trip they taped at the Palladium in LA. With those things being the exception to the rule, NXT is a state of Florida product. That's, you know, it's where it's born.
And so is TNA at this point.
And what that means, though, is you get it warts and all. I mean, you absolutely get it warts and all. And if you're somebody who only wants the polished product, then don't be jealous, because you're going to see all kinds of stuff on this NXT house show circuit. When you go to all over the state of Florida and go to Citrus Springs or Cocoa or Lakeland or any of these stops, Gainesville, Jacksonville, Ocala. But if you are into that sort of thing, if you're into seeing the development and seeing somebody who's never been on television, this month they look like this, next month they look like this, 3 months later, 6 months later, they look like this, and wow, now they're ready.
Right.
That's pretty cool. That's fun to watch.
Absolutely.
Just like you mentioned with Steve Cutler.
Good example of that indeed. Like I said before, he was just a wrestler, you know, fine, just a good wrestler, but they didn't have much for him. But now he's got a personality. Now he's had more ring time. He's kind of honed his look a little more, the beard. And I think, like, he had black and red trunks on, so it's all, his gear's more coordinated. And that's just, I think he's on his way. I think eventually you'll see him show up on NXT television. And as you were saying a second ago, it's very cool that it's cool for us, South Georgia folk, you know, Floridians. They can check out NXT because their house shows are constantly going on, weekly house shows all over Florida. It is much like how ECW was kind of a Philadelphia exclusive thing for so long. And I was actually talking to someone at the NXT show about this. Who was that person? It was the Blue Meanie. The Blue Meanie knows quite a bit about ECW in Philadelphia. Blue Meanie was there to see his student, Steve Cutler, actually wrestle Roderick Strong. And hopefully he enjoyed the match. I know I did. I know the fans did. And yeah, good on you, Steve Cutler. You're doing some great things. Roderick Strong, very impressive. He's doing some great things as well. And we'll just see more of both these guys, I'm sure, on television in the very near future. Roderick Strong does go over on Steve Cutler. Oney Lorcan takes on Elias Sampson, the Drifter. The fans are not liking Elias Sampson, man.
No, he's pretty much been roundly shit on.
Yeah.
From his debut. I don't really get it. At this point, I get it. The crowd loves to stick to what they've decided.
Right.
But originally, I was very interested in giving this guy a chance. When he had some little vignettes that played on NXT before he ever debuted, I was very interested in him. And I think you could still do a lot with that character. It's weird that he has disappeared for so long. I think that they need to retool it a little bit. You don't have to change his music or his outfit or the guitar or anything.
I like the look.
The look is good.
It's different.
You just got to make the gimmick mean. You really got to make it mean anything. It doesn't. You can't just come out and just be that. That's got to mean something. Like, you need a vignette where he encounters someone while he's drifting.
Right.
Or something. Like, why would he drift in and sit in the corner and play his guitar?
Well, he did play. That doesn't make any sense. He did play guitar. He came out and wrote a song, of course, about Gainesville and just shit all over Gainesville. Of course, nice heel heel move there. And Ordy Lorcan came out, and it was a fairly one-sided match. Lorcan beat Elias Sampson with very little trouble, but again, good match. It's fine.
Man, I'd like to see Oney Lorcan versus Roderick Strong.
One day. That probably has happened several times. The house shows that we've missed. Moving on, NXT Women's Champion Asuka takes on Peyton Royce. Now, this was kind of a interesting beginning, because in the very beginning, it was actually Billy Kay and Peyton Royce who came to the ring and made fun of Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan comes out and runs in and gets beaten up by Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, and Asuka comes out. Basically, you think maybe to Liv's defense, but really it was just a match that's supposed to take place between Peyton Royce and Asuka, which is a good match. Liv goes back to the backstage area during the match. Billy Kay stays out to cheer on Peyton Royce. And Peyton Royce got a lot of offense on Asuka. It's just really surprising because on television, Asuka's just been squashing everybody. But Peyton definitely got a lot of moves in on Asuka. If I remember correctly, Billy Kay gets involved a little bit and maybe hits Asuka. I think that kind of happens. Liv Morgan comes running from the backstage area and runs and chases Billy Kay around the ring, and ultimately chases Billy Kay back to the backstage area. So now it's just Peyton and Asuka. And of course, Asuka chokes out Peyton Royce, makes her tap in the center of the ring. And yeah, there you have it. Asuka retains the title. Not that there was any fear of her dropping the belt at a house show. But good match. Always great to see. It was great to see all those ladies. But, you know, Asuka is a fan favorite. And she's one of my favorites. So I will always enjoy seeing Asuka live for certain. Which takes us to our main event match, a six-man tag. Shinsuke Nakamura, your NXT Heavyweight Champion, Patrick Clark, and Cedric Alexander take on Sanity's Eric Young, Alexander Wolfe, and Sawyer Fulton. Now, besides the fact that the combination of Shinsuke Nakamura, Patrick Clark, which is interesting, and Cedric Alexander is very interesting and cool, it was very cool to see Eric Young wrestle. Because I had not seen Eric Young wrestle before in this capacity. So seeing him get involved was pretty great, I gotta say. And, yeah, because you only really see him come out with Sanity during the tag team classic that we've talked about for the past month or so. So it's nice to see him actually get involved in a match and actually wrestle. And it was a very good match. Sanity doing what they do best, which is be crazy as hell. And all yelling at each other and all hitting each other. I think Nikki Cross slapped Alexander Wolf a couple times and Sawyer Fulton a couple times, and it all works really, really well, the whole Sanity gimmick. But when you have Shinsuke Nakamura and Cedric Alexander, it's guaranteed to be good. Patrick Clark hasn't really proven himself in the ring yet, but I do like that he's got personality. He definitely has that. His character is working very well, and he can hang. It was fine. It was believable. And we're talking about earlier about how wrestlers have been retooled and repackaged. Sanity might be one of the best examples of that. Because we talked about this on the first we were there when we saw Alexander Wolfe and Sawyer Fulton, how they needed something extra. Like they were kind of just tough and angry, and they needed just more of that, and they needed to be more unified in what they wore.
Yeah, I think we literally said they were half-assed Mad Max.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, half-ass Mad Max.
Half-ass post-apocalyptic gimmick, and now they are full-on post-apocalyptic gimmick. They are
full-ass.
I think we, yes.
Full-ass Mad Max. They are
full-ass Mad Max now. I think we booked those guys. I think that NXT, they may have hacked
Well, we didn't, but we certainly could have.
We could have.
And that's what really matters, is us knowing that we know our shit.
That seems to be what works in wrestling, too. If it's not working, then turn the volume up to 10.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. And if that doesn't work, turn it back to 0, and then find something else to do, and then turn that up to 10. So, basically, don't half-ass. Go for the full ass.
Full ass.
Hashtag full ass.
Yes, hashtag always go full ass.
Yes. But it was a really great match. A lot of cool spots. Again, Sanity is very over. It was cool to see Eric Young wrestle. It's always great to see Shinsuke Nakamura wrestle. Cedric Alexander is always going to be great. Patrick Clark is doing really cool things.
So is Alexander doing just a bunch of high-flying stuff, or is he adjusting it?
He has to take it down because people can't do rolls and flips them in the ring. But he'll still do the... He'll still get flipped and land on his feet. He'll still come off the top rope. There definitely were some high-flying spots.
Now, size-wise, how does he compare to, like, Patrick Clark?
Patrick Clark's thicker, but they're about the same height. Shinsuke's taller than almost everyone, if not for Sawyer Fulton. He's taller than everyone. Eric Young's not a tall guy.
Right.
I
was going to say, Alexander's probably as tall or taller than Eric Young.
Probably taller. EY, Eric Young, is not very tall at all. But they're all taller than Nikki Cross.
she's a little one.
She's a little one, but she's fierce.
Hello, little one.
Yes. But yeah, Shinsuke and the gang, Clark and Alexander, they go over on Sanity. And that was it. Great night. Great night of wrestling. A lot of variety. A little something for everyone. I think every fan was satisfied. I was satisfied.
I wish I had been there.
I wish your cousin didn't get married.
Yeah.
I hope it ends in divorce.
Wow. Me too.
Oh, no. Well, okay. But, again, we've said it before on the show. Anytime there's a house show going on, folks, it's like $10-$20 for a ringside seat. I do encourage you to go. You're going to see something great.
If you're in Toronto and you're listening, go to TakeOver.
Oh, go to TakeOver for us, please.
If you're in Australia and you're listening, if your dates did not get canceled yet, because I saw that a couple of them did.
Oh, yeah.
Go to those shows.
It's okay. Just fly to Ocala, Florida, or Gainesville, Florida, and check out these house shows, man. I'm telling you. There's also something very cool about a house show. It's very intimate. This is a crowd of about 100, maybe 150 people in a gymnasium, which doesn't sound very fun, but it is. It's great. I mean, me personally, I like small venues. You know, in like if this were like a coliseum or a stadium, it would kind of get washed out for me. So I love the intimate crowd, the intimate experience. It's not being filmed. I mean, well, it's being filmed for training purposes, but it's not being broadcast. So whatever happens tonight happens just for you, the audience. And that's a very cool thing, too. So, but there you have it. We were there, I was there. Hopefully next time Darren will go with me and we can both be there and tell you about the further developments. All in all, though, like I said, NXT puts on a great show. Anytime they go out, you're going to get your money's worth every time. So, again, I do encourage you to check them out. On that note, we're going to wind things down here on the show. Do make sure you follow us on all of our social media stuff. That includes Twitter. You can follow us at Refn Show Podcast. That's RefnShow. PODCAST.
Follow us, retweet us, favorite us.
Yeah.
Get the word out, man.
Get the word out. Or if you got something that's too long for a tweet, send us an email at thewholerefnshow@gmail.com. And also check out our Facebook, like and subscribe. And
check out Instagram. We are smoking hot on the Instagram now. The Whole Refn Show. If you're not already following us on there, follow us. I mean, we'd love to see all the Instagram love transfer over to Twitter as well, but hey, we are pleased as punch that you're following us on Instagram. Please leave us some comments or questions. Send us a private message or just put something there at the bottom of one of our pictures, and we'll get back to you.
Yes, indeed. We do appreciate you, listeners. Thank you for joining us, and we'll definitely see you next week. My name is Perry Smith.
My name is Darren Beasley.
And we thank you again for listening to The Whole Refn Show.
Terry Funk, I smashed your knee to oblivion.